All here to the house of our Lord, and I hope that you are all, as I am, looking forward to hearing the message this day. And I ask that you would pray for our brother, help him, that God would help him and give us the message this day. And so this time I will give you our brother, Jose Galvan.
Good morning to everyone. And thank you for that introduction. That was a pretty short one. Nice. I like to see. Thank you for being here, for taking time of your busy day to be here today. And I can say that this is a really good opportunity for me to serve the Lord for that what He has called me, and I thankful for that, and I hope and pray that you guys get my point of the message that God has put in my heart. I really this morning, Brother Tim comments, I really appreciate it because especially me, and like he said, many others. They do have really good education, but me, you look at a guy that only has sixth grade of a school, and I somehow I run away, and perhaps was the biggest mistake that I make or not. But as we know, God always has a plan for you and I, and things happen for one reason, and only He knows, and I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful to Him that I'm here today, standing right to you, right next to you, and I cannot thank Him enough for the many blessings that I have, especially having you guys as friends, as brothers and sisters, of people that care for each other, and that's just it has no price. That has no. It's just priceful. I don't know if that makes sense. And thank you for receiving me with applauses and laughings and all that stuff. I really don't know what happened there, but that's one of my biggest mistakes. Fears, I should say. Fears that I might someday standing right in front of you and something's wrong with my... I don't know, and I'm always shaking my fist to make sure that I'm okay. I'm okay to stand in front of you. So forgive me if I say something up there. I know it happened to one of my brothers going to the restroom, and there his things, and the microphone was on, and everybody heard everything. So I hope that was not me today. But thank you so much. And I had a really good weekend. I usually don't have weekends off. I work Saturdays. And but just today I had the opportunity to go visit my family in Mexico, in Nogales, Mexico, to bring the good news, to bring words of comfort. And I understand that, like I said, God works in every way, the perfect time, the perfect day. You hear exactly what you want to hear. You receive a blessing exactly the time that you need it. Yesterday, we show up to our family home in Mexico, and she was glad to see us. As we all have problems in life, she was going through some problems. And God put me really good comments in my heart. It talks a little bit about the storms that we go through every day. And that was, and that lesson that we have with her, it was a blessing for her yesterday. And that, me and Rebecca, we were so enjoyable, enjoying the visit, and knew that the Spirit works when you most needed Him. And we were a blessing to my sister yesterday, because we were able to bring testimonies that lift her up and words of comfort in her life, because she was going through a really hard time. But everything worked out so well. She was doing some things in the morning, and one way or another, she got them done right when we got there to Mexico. Because going through the border to the borderline there, it's not easy. It's not easy. It's so much traffic. It's so much people. So much commotion. And if you don't have the patience, your hair can be like this. But we do this trusting in the Lord that He will prepare the way. That's a lot of our brothers there travel a lot. They always put an email on the CCEG, you know, asking for prayers, for comfort, for safety, and for God to prepare the way. And that's how we do it. That's what we do. I mean, that applies to all of us, here. So let's not forget that the God always is right next to you. And you know, perhaps things happen, and you're like, well, where is he? And we don't know how things work with him, because he says, you know, in Isaiah, you know, we don't know his ways. His ways are higher than ours. We're nobody to question him. He knows what he's doing, even from the beginning. From the beginning, he knows what he's doing. And this is a little bit about what my sermon is today. That he loves all of us so much that he hasn't give up on us. He hasn't give up. And where the scripture said that he's not late. He's not late. He's always waiting patiently for you to come to him. And perhaps you have heard that a lot, but that's what it is. We stand up here for. I was going through some pictures in my computer, pictures that I didn't even know they were there. I don't know somehow they got there. I'm not really good with computers. You know, I can search in Google, but I'm not really good with iCloud and all that stuff. And I found some pictures about many of our kids. That I don't see the many here. They've been baptized. And it makes me sad thinking about it. They have forgot the promise that they did when they went into the waters of baptism. There is a promise that you can't ignore. You can't ignore. Brother Ronnie, you know, not too long ago, put up some pictures of kids, some young adults that they got baptized in Honduras, and that's joyful, you know. What it says, if someone comes to Christ, there's a party going on in heaven. The angels are rejoicing for that person, for that one person. You know, God has given us talents. Let's not do like the one that giving him one talent, he buried it and not put it to work. We have talents that we have to use, that we should use them when the opportunity comes, and not be afraid. I like to see new faces. I would like to see more new faces in our church. Maybe not. It's not the time yet, but it will come. It will come. We have to have faith. We have to have faith in those days, and we're living in the last days. We're living in the last days, and let's not our faith get small. Let's not quench the spirit by materialism stuff. Let's not quench it. That's the most worst things we can do. Doing things that are not pleasing him. That's how you turn off the flame that lives in us. Let's have faith. You know, when you go to a restaurant, you have faith on the cook that he's not going to spit on your food. Right? You put in your faith on it. You're going to eat it so good, but you don't know what's in it. You put in your faith on the cook. When you go to the doctor is going to give you some pills. You're going to go and refill them, but you have the faith that he give you the right pills, and they're going to help you when we are going through sicknesses. That's the faith that we have. Much more faith we should have in those promises and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those promises that he told us over and over and over in the Gospels. You know, and Brother Paul had to remind us of those promises through his letters. That's pretty cool. Let's read. I would like you guys to open your Bible in the book of Mark. Matthew. You know what? I forgot my Bible. Book of Matthew, chapter 21. We're going to read from 18 to 22. 18 to 22 in the book of Matthew. And when he saw the fear, this is when Christ, waking up early in the morning, he goes and gets up and start walking and see this tree. He's hungry. And he's looking for some fruit, and there's no fruit in the tree. Let's read. And now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree on the way, he came into it and found nothing there, thereon, but leaves only, and saying to it, "Let not fruit grow on thee henceforward forever." And presently the fig tree withered away. Presently the tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "And how soon is the fig tree withered away?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you should not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, 'Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea,' it shall be done." I don't know if it, you know, you say to, I don't know, to the lookout mountain where I work, that's a huge mountain, cast out in the sea, you know, or move. I don't know if that could happen. That you have to have a great faith. But I think what Christ says is that, you know, if you have faith, these mountains, these problems that we face every day, these sicknesses that we face every day, they can be removed if we have faith. There's been a lot of miracles in our church, and I have seen them, and we cannot ignore them. If you have faith, it can be done. And Mark says in the Mark's 11:20, Mark chapter 11. If you can follow me, please, because sometimes I don't make sense when I'm reading. Mark 11, verse 20 to 23. Explains a little bit more about what happened there. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dry up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember, say unto him, "Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away." And Jesus answered, saying to him, "Have faith in God. Have faith in God, and all you ask in my name, thinking that you're going to have it, it will be done." You know, see right here, the tree, even the roots were gone. But if we think about it a little bit, we have not enough faith sometimes. And if you hear, listen to the sermon, and you go home, and perhaps because our busy life, there's no time to pick up your scriptures, our faith can quench a little bit. And it will continue on, and it will continue. Because it's like the days to day, they just kind of fly. The time goes so fast. There's no time. There's no time. You know, in let's go to John chapter 3. I'm going to talk a little bit about Nicodemus. Nicodemus was it was a Pharisee, was a teacher, was a learning person in those days. And I'm going to read in John 3, 1, 7. In John 3, 1, 2, 7. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and saying to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art teacher that come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou dost, except God be with him. Jesus answered and saying to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time to his mother's womb and be born again? Religion. Nicodemus, it was a learning person, a very important person from being a member of the this group, the Sanhedrin, something like that. He was one of them, so he was very learned. He was very learned. But Christ told him, you know, you've been a teacher, you don't know these things. But perhaps maybe Nicodemus then, it says, how can a man be born when he's old? There's a question mark right there. Can enter the second time into his mother's womb? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus had enough religions. You know, Christ, before he was taken up to heaven, he said, Go to the whole world and preach all the things that you saw that I did. Preach Christ, preach baptism, preach repentance. Nicodemus, he was an old person. He did not need religion. He needed something else. He needed Christ. That's what he needed. That's what he asking. You know, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. But of course, you know, he said, We know, he's a smart guy. He's a smart guy. That right there, I can see there was a little bit of arrogance. And like the scripture that I was trying to find this morning, one of the the scripture this morning that I wanted to share, it was on Matthew 8:19, when the scribe comes and he wants to enjoy, he wants to be with Christ, but he said, you know, I'm going to read it here. It says, And a certain scribe came and saying to him, Master, I will follow thee wherever thou goest. But he did not follow him. He perhaps thought that he's going to choose me before these fishermen who did not know nothing, who did not learn. They're just fishermen. But, you know, I'm one of them. We all one of them. But we had to listen. We had to hear God's voice as he speaks to us. He cares for each of us. In Matthew 16, chapter 16, verse 21 to 23, please. From the time forward began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things in the elders and chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, he shall not be unto thee. But he turned and saying to Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou severest not the things of God, but those of men. He knew his responsibility. He knew he was obedient, as we read in the scriptures. He obeyed God, his Father, and to the end, he was obedient. He knew what must be done. And here is Peter telling him, but of course, we all know who was speaking through Peter. And that's why he rebuked him. Peter was a short-tempered guy, I can put it that way. You know, he did many, many things. They perhaps Christ would have said, you know what, be gone. You're not part of this group anymore. But he didn't. He didn't because he knew he was a very good tool that he was going to use, just like Paul. Paul, there are so many things he, I don't know for sure if he did kill people, but he did put people, a lot of people in jail, persecuting in a way that we have no idea. And maybe we don't even want to know what happened in those days. But Christ knew everything. He knows everything. And even Peter, those words came from his mouth, but Christ knew they were not from Peter. He still rebuked him. Jesus knew the word that his Father had for him. And Peter did not understand it. So Jesus, our Lord, is called him. He's called him. I've been reading in Leviticus, and it really brought me attention. And I knew that that's what the Spirit asked me to share today. And I'm going to read it in Leviticus 17, chapter 17, from 10 to 11. It brought me to the understanding, and maybe it's me, and when I come to the understanding, I get so excited. I was so excited in my heart. Because it makes sense, and I hope it makes sense to you too. We're going to read in Leviticus 17, 10 and 11. And whatsoever man there be at the house of Israel or the strangers that sojourn among you, they eaten any matter of blood, I will even set my face against the soul of that eaten blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for you souls. For it is the blood that make an atonement for the soul. And the blood is the life. You know, that brings me to my next comment. In Mexico, if you walk from where I'm from, they eat the blood. You're walking in the sidewalk in these pots of blood in the sidewalk, boiling, cooking, tacos de sangre. That's what they call it. I don't think I never had it, and I hope I didn't. Because I didn't look too good. But isn't it what it has to be done? We read it every time we have our sacrament in Matthew 20, 28. Please, let's go there. Matthew 20, 20, 20 26, I'm sorry. 26, 28. It says, For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for for the remissions of sins. Like I said, God knows from the beginning everything, and we don't follow. You know, for having a hard heart, he commands all these sacrifices, all these poor animals for our hard hearts that we have. You know, here's the priest putting his hands on this goat, passing the sins of the house of Israel, because they keep purifying the tabernacle for the transgression of the house of Israel. Here's the priest passing the sins into this goat, the let go goat or whatever they call them. After that, they let the goat go free, you know, after he has passed all the sins of the house of Israel. Here you go. Get out of here. What about if the goat tries to come back, you know? What do you do? It's just to let go. So it dies, so it goes to, there was no inhabitation, where there's no people. I don't know where that goat goes, because it was not killed. That was one of the, it's so much that you learn in the Leviticus, and it's really interesting. But we should not eat the blood. That was a commandment of God. And why? Because like I just read right now, Jesus says, this is my blood that I share for you. His blood is the life. In his blood, we are washed and clean as snow. Right? He have to do this in the days of the Leviticus. But did that make sense for us in these days, in his new, in the New Testament? If you don't read the Old Testament, sometimes the New Testament does not make any sense. But that makes so much sense for me, and I hope it makes sense to you. We just celebrate his resurrection a week ago. And because he suffered for our sins and was crucified, we are here. But how quickly we forget, just like Peter. Like he was a little rebel, but God, Christ always look up to him, even into the end. They saw Christ hanging in the tree, and in their human minds, they're like, "Well, this is it. He's dead." They didn't even thought about the words that he was telling them as he was walking with them for 3 years. "I will be crucified, but on the third day, I will arise." And they forget that. They forget that. So what did they do? Peter, who denied him 3 times, who told him not to go up to Jerusalem. What did he do? "I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing." And the other ones, they're like, "Oh, well, I'll go with you. Let's go fishing. This is over. This is done." They were fishing. You come with you with me, I'm sorry, to John chapter 21. We're going to read 5:5-7. So here's these guys in the middle of the lake, having fun, maybe, or thinking over. But they totally forgot what just happened. They forgot. And then went to go fishing. We're going to read in 5-7. "And then Jesus said unto them," when he come to meet them at the lake, They were in the middle of the lake, and then Jesus said to them, "Children, have ye any meat?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you should find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved, saying to Peter, "It is the Lord." It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard this was the Lord, he girded his fisher coat unto him, for he was naked, and there cast himself into the sea. Do you remember when first Christ came to him in the Sea of Galilee? He was washing his nets and said, "Hey, let's go fishing." "What do you mean go fishing? I just came back from there. I was there all night and I didn't catch no fish. There's no fish." But he didn't know Christ back then. He didn't know who he was. Instead of saying, obeying Christ, "Okay, let's go fishing." But he went and argued with him. "Wait a minute. I'm the fisherman. Who are you? I know how to run my business. You want to run my business? You want to show me how to fish when I'm the fisherman? What do you mean go fishing when I was just there and there was no fish? Now you're trying to show me how to fish when I'm a fisherman?" But Christ had a plan for him. And right there, when he knew or heard there was the Lord, he ran to him. He ran to him and reminded him of the duties that he have called him for. Let's not forget that. We have make a promise, a commitment with Christ. Every day as we walk in this life, let's not forget of that. Therefore, the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." How painful will be Peter when he was walking not too far from him, when he was arrested and denied him almost in front of him. And when he denied him the third time, he cried. He was so sad because Christ told him, "You're going to do this." "No, I won't. I won't do it. I will die if I need to." But Christ knew. He had a plan for Peter as he has it for us, for me and you. We're not a perfect people, and he doesn't choose perfect people. He chose the most meek ones, humble ones, less learning. He thanks to his father for hiding these things to the learner and give it to his choosing one. It has to be a sacrifice. It has to be a shed of blood for the forgiving of sins. And he did it for all of us because he loved us. In Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to read 10 and 12. By the which will we sanctify through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stand daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. I'm going to continue reading. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down in the right hand of God. This is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was of one sacrifice, and there cannot be no more. There cannot be no more, because it's clearly here in his word. And the word that comes out of these books, it is true and it's a word of life. We cannot ignore this. So I have heard some comments that they, in Israel, they want to build the temple again, and they want to do sacrifices, but what for? What are they trying to prove? You know, when Christ told us, you know, you guys are like white tombs. We want to be so perfect outside, but inside, you're like a white tomb full of dead bones. Why do they want to do these sacrifices when it says right here there's no need no more? It's been done already. He said it when he was hanging in the cross. It is finished. It is finished, and his blood was shed. And the veil was ripped in half, that we are not longer need a sacrifice and have other, like the Levites, doing the sacrifice for our sins. The veil is ripped, and we are able to go to the Holy of Holiness. Wherefore the Holy Ghost, 14, for by one offering he hath perfect forever them they are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he hath said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write in them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Did we listen? Did we read? My last verse comment is that he is aware of all your problems. Just like this comment this morning about King Saul, God asked him, what do you want me to give you? And he said, acknowledge and wisdom. He could have said anything else. Acknowledge and wisdom. Every time I stand up here, I had to confess. I pray that God, please, give me peace in my heart, and show me and put those words in my mouth that I be able to bring your word forward. That's always my prayer there when I stand up here. And that he hears me? Yes, of course. He does. John 3:16, the famous verse that we all know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him may be saved. We are saved in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he has called us to preach his name. That may others will be saved too also. I'm going to read in the Book of Mormon. Second Nephi, chapter 1, from 71 to 77. Wherefore, Wherefore redemption come in through the Holy Messiah, for he is full of grace. He is full of grace. He is waiting and waiting because he doesn't want none of us to be last. He's waiting patiently. And one of the scriptures in the Bible says he's not delaying, he's waiting for you to make that change. Behold, he often offering himself as sacrifice for sin to answer the ends of the law. The law is complete in him. And to all those which have broken heart and contrite spirit, and to none else can the ends of the law be answered. Wherefore, how great importance is to make these things known unto the inhabitants of the earth, that they may know that there is no flesh that can dwell in the presence of God, save it be through the merits and mercy and grace of the Holy Ghost. We have work to do, and it says right here, to make these things known to the inhabitants of this earth. We have our brother, one time that he preached here, Ronnie, he said, we need to step outside of our comfort area. We need to step outside. Even if we sink in the world, just like Peter's there, he was in his comfort boat. He stepped outside, and for one moment, his faith was high, but he stopped doubting because the world problems, he started to sinking. Let's not that happen to us. I like to see new people, new faces in this church. We have work to do. We have work to do to make these things known to the inhabitants of this earth. How are we going to do it? I don't know. God will let us know the right time for it. Which laid down his life according to the flesh and take it again by the power of the Spirit, that he may bring to pass the resurrection of the dead, being the first that shall arise. Wherefore he is the first fruits in God, and so much as he shall make intercession for all the children of men, and they that believe in him shall be saved. And then the believe in him shall be saved. And the book of Mark 16:16 says, and those who now believe, they will be condemned. Is that what you want? I don't think so. This is your time. This is your opportunity. We still have breath in our lungs that you can make that change in your life and come to Christ Jesus, who is our Savior. Let's go to Alma. This will be my last scripture. Alma chapter 5:20-23. Alma chapter 5:20-23. And he shall go forth suffering pains and afflictions and temptations of all every kind, and this that the word might be fulfilled, which it says, he will take upon him the pains and sicknesses of his people, and he will take upon him death, that he may loose the bonds of death which binds his people. Isn't it that he did it for us when we were sinners? He did it. Even when we were sinners. Because that 100, he does not want to lose. And he will take upon him their infirmities, that his bowels may be filled with mercy according to the flesh, that he may know according to the flesh how to succor his people according to their infirmities. He came in, like he came to this world and experienced everything, all those sins, all those painfuls, all those sicknesses, cancer. You can say many things that he came and experienced those. And he suffered for every single one just to let us know, trust in me. I'm the healer. I'm your doctor. I will save you from all this. And as he said, I have In my Father's house I have many rooms. He is preparing a place for you and I. And that is the most comfort, promise that we should not always forget. Because we are not here forever. And like I said, the time is really short and it's going really fast. Let us not waste it into vanity things, like the book Ecclesiastes is explained to us. Everything is vanity. The way we came to this world, the same way we will go back, with nothing on. I thank you for your time, and I pray that this message really dare touch your heart and make you think of those things that that are good for our souls, and not to trust in the arm of men, because there's better things up there for us that is waiting for us. I thank you so much, and have a wonderful the rest of the day.